What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome into the Rockspile Rockies Report. I'm Noah Yingling, one of the co-experts of Rockspile. And as always, I'm joined by my friend and fellow co-expert, Kevin Henry. Kevin, how are you?
Noah, doing well. Just back from Coors Field, where the Rockies took 2 of 3 from the St. Louis Cardinals. And what an ending to the matinee game. Nolan could have been the hero or the GOAT. And Daniel Bard caught him looking for strike 3 to end the game. It was pretty impressive, man.
As we've said, the Rockies are actually not a bad team at Coors Field.
Nope. I agree. And, you know, if you go back to the ninth inning today, you knew how it was going to set up. The Bard was going to come in for the ninth, but he started really wild to Yadier Molina, like high and in 2 or 3 times. In fact, there was one point that Yadi was looking at him like, what are you doing? So I thought that was very interesting, but Bard came back to get him out, you know, ended up working around trouble in the ninth, even though it was not pretty by any stretch. And it was, I believe, his fourth time this season he's pitched more than 30 pitches in one outing.
And honestly, that was one of my biggest issues with extending him is his control. He doesn't have good control. That's part of his problem. He's averaging a little bit more than 4 walks per 9 innings. Last year, of course, he was nowhere near as good, but he was averaging 5 walks per 9 innings. So.
Yep. And today it was a little disconcerting. Alex Colome has fallen off the radar completely. I think our friend Patrick Saunders posted he's had a 13 or 14 ERA in his last 4 outings. So it's one of those things that you look back and you're like, could they have gotten something for Chad Kuhl? Could they have gotten something for Alex Colome? Because both right now, Kuhl obviously injured, but before he went on the IL was really struggling as well. So but all that aside, they take 2 of 3 from St. Louis, playing in Denver. Now they've got Arizona coming in for a weekend series. And, you know, it's one of those chances to build momentum. But unfortunately, you look at the schedule and you know where they go next, to St. Louis, which has been a house of horrors for them, just like Miami and, you know, a couple of other places that we can think about around this great world of ours.
I can think of San Francisco, Dodger Stadium. Pretty much every single stadium besides Petco.
Petco, they feel at home, apparently. Didn't look like that, I know, with for the trade deadline and right during. But at the same time, Bush has been a place that has not been good. And we'll see if they can keep some momentum going, because it's basically going to be the same pitching matchups that we saw at Coors carry over for that game, for those games, I should say, at Bush Stadium, except for the final game. When I know Jordan Montgomery will go for the Cardinals, and I believe Senzatella is scheduled to go for the Rockies against him.
Speaking of which, for Senzatella, since he's gotten a little bit better lately, he is now the only Rockies pitcher, or Rockies starting pitcher, I should say, with an ERA plus of league average or better. He is exactly league average.
And if you had told me at the start of the season that he'd be your leading pitcher on August, middle of August, shall we say? Yeah, I don't think that would have boded well for the Rockies in any way, shape, or form.
No, and that's part of their problem. And something we're going to get into as well is I feel like we talk about this on every episode. Their depth.
Yeah.
What happens if a Jonathan Daza is injured like he is now?
Yep.
What happens if Elias Diaz is injured like he is now?
Yep.
What happens if Chris Bryant is injured like he has been for what will probably end up being three quarters of the 2022 season? This is what happens.
Yeah. And really look back at this stretch, just the Cardinals series. As you mentioned, Daza goes down today. We're recording this on Thursday. Daza goes down today with what was a separated shoulder. He actually popped it back into place on the field before he left the field. And they're still trying to figure out if he will need time away, on the injured list. Bud Black told us afterwards today that Elias Diaz, his hand is not broken, but there is some ligament sprain in there. So it will require a trip to the IL probably. We'll find that out tomorrow. There's already been talk that Dom Nunez will be there to take the place. So you're looking at Servin now as your main catcher, which at the end of the day isn't the worst thing, but then you drop off pretty quickly to Dom Nunez, who whenever he got sent to AAA in May, everybody was hoping he'd find his swing and really put up some numbers. And if you look at his numbers in AAA, he has not done that.
No. And I mean, whether you look at the numbers, the on-base percentage has definitely gotten better. He walked well down there, but average, you can't hit 235 in the Pacific Coast League.
No.
I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, if you're hitting 235 in the Pacific Coast League, I would expect you to hit 143 in the majors. You want to guess what he's hitting in the majors this year? 143.
You know, and he, whenever I wrote the article or started working on the article about Diaz, it hasn't been published yet, but I noted that he has 12 major league home runs. 10 of them came last year. So in the pandemic season of 2020 plus this season, he's got a total of 2. And if you look at what he's done in Albuquerque, the power has not been there either. So it's going to be a drop off from Diaz. Hopefully it's not going to be something that's going to keep Diaz out a long time. But I think that this is really a sink or swim moment for Dom Nunez as far as the organization goes.
Now, I want to ask you a question. For the older generation in our audience, let's put the let's turn the VCR on, put the VHS tape in, and rewind back to April 24th into April 25th.
All right.
This was at the end of the Tiger series going to Philadelphia.
Oh boy. Yep. We know what happened in Philly, but go ahead.
Yeah. The Rockies were swept in Philadelphia, but they took 2 of 3 in Detroit. After that Detroit series, the Rockies were 10-5. So at that point, they were in third place in the NL West, but they had the fourth best record in the National League.
Okay.
Since then, they are 40-59. That's including today, Thursday.
Okay. Yep.
Can you guess what teams are worse than them in the National League in that span?
I will guess Washington.
You would be correct. Worst team in baseball.
I would probably guess maybe the Cubs.
You would be correct.
Because actually the Reds have done better since that time, after that horrendous start.
Since the Reds, at least, I believe it was entering today, after their 3-22 start, they have played 500 baseball.
And that's crazy to think about because they got off to such a horrid start.
Yeah.
And then maybe the Pirates.
Yep. There's your three.
There you go.
That's so, it.
And is that the group you want to be associated with right now?
No.
Yeah. So it boils down to, you know, and we talked to Bud a little bit about this, and Noah, one thing that I thought was really interesting today in our pre-game scrum is that a lot of the questions posed by the reporters who were there were already asking about next year.
Yep.
We're already turning the page to what does this team need to do to get better for next year? And obviously that's a very loaded question because you don't know what the roster is going to look like. You don't know who's coming back. You don't know. And by the way, the Rockies have a lot of players that they need to figure out what to do with as far as Rule 5 protection this year in the offseason too. So they're getting ready to be a huge roster crunch this offseason. And they're also going to have to figure out who's really coming back to this team and who's really going to be a part of it next year. And we found out this year, if you're counting on one guy to come in and ride that white horse to help you out like Chris Bryant did, but he only plays in 42 games, it's going to be it's going to short circuit that idea.
Yeah. I mean, the Rockies have yet another conundrum. Are they truly going to cut bait this offseason? Because even heading into the season, there were some players like, okay, they were decent last year, but here in the summer, especially, like, for example, Connor Joe, is he part of your future plans?
Yep.
Sam Hilliard, is he part of your future plans? Garrett Hampson. Especially in that outfield. The outfield, you've got a ton of guys out there of, are they part of your future plans?
But look at what happened today when Erdaza went out of the game, which, by the way, was in the top of the first inning. I mean, it was early on. So Daza goes out very early, and Hampson goes in as the replacement for him. Charlie is DHing, Grichuk's in right, Hilliard's in left. One thing that I noticed, and we talked a little bit about internally in the press box today, is Connor Joe. As you mentioned, and we've written about on the site, he has not done well lately. He also hasn't been playing at all lately. So you've got to kind of wonder how banged up he really is and how that's impacting him at the plate as well.
And I mean, in a way, well, one, he's got a great story.
Absolutely.
And he also, part of the reason why he has gotten a lot of playing time is his on-base ability.
Yep.
And we know that's something, especially at the top of the lineup, and Bud Black has said this, he's not your prototypical leadoff guy, but he walks a lot, so that helps.
Yep.
So, but he hasn't been doing it lately. So again, it's okay, and it's a very similar case with Hampson, in where, okay, he can play 3-4 different positions, but is his bat going to be where it needs to be?
Yep.
So far for Connor Joe in the last month, it hasn't been. Since July 3rd, he's hitting 138.
Yeah. Yeah, and think back, you know, last year, whenever he really broke on the scene. If you remember, you know, Raimel Tapia was kind of in there as that leadoff guy. Tapia gets hurt. Joe slides up to the top of the lineup and really inserts himself as that quintessential leadoff guy. If he wasn't getting a hit, he was getting a walk. There wasn't a lot of power there, but he was getting on base, like you mentioned. And you take that part of his game away, like we've seen this year, and it makes Connor Joe a really great guy with a really great story, but he's also something that you can't hit him up high in the lineup, as they've seen him drop down in the lineup in recent games when he has played. So it's something that, are you going to put him in over Hilliard if they're both healthy? You know, Hilliard at least is going to give you a chance for some pop. Are you going to put him in if you have a choice in center? You know, center's been a little bit of a rotation this year. Daza's been hot at times. There's times that he hasn't been. So they've tried to put a Hampson in there, or, you know, even a Hilliard in center and move Joe to left, you know, so.
Or Grichuk.
Absolutely. Who, by the way, you could argue right now that he's one of the hottest players on the team as far as offense goes.
Yeah.
You know, Grichuk and what Rymack has done. He's hit back-to-back days with homers. I believe he's on a nine-game hitting streak right now. But, you know, like today, it was 1-for-4 with a homer. You know, so that's just it. He's keeping the streak alive, but it's not a 3-for-4 day. And CJ Krohn has cooled off considerably. Didn't even see the field today.
Yeah. And with Krohn, and this is something I know we've talked about a little bit here on the podcast, and just in general, of looking at the guys by WAR. Now, there's some people that'll say, oh, WAR is the best thing ever. It's really not. But just it's a good barometer of just overall how our players doing. CJ Krohn for the longest time was their top player.
Yep.
He's no longer their top player. Who's the top player?
In terms of WAR right now?
Yep.
Huh.
At least on Baseball Reference. I'll have to check what Fangraphs says.
Is it Chuck?
It is not.
Okay.
You have to consider Chuck is not very good defensively, at least in the minds of.
Yeah, which is
the stat goblins.
Is yeah, but he's actually had a couple of good plays, and I guess that's why it jumped into my head. But anyway, who is the number one player?
Brendan Rodgers.
Well, good point. Yeah, who arguably, you know, and again, you can't do this, but look past April, and he's been the man as far as the National League second baseman have gone.
What if I would tell you, too? And this is another problem. Number 8 on that list, he's tied for 7th. It's Tyler Kinley.
Yeah.
He hasn't pitched in a long time.
No. And it's interesting that you bring up Tyler Kinley because this is something I was going to talk to you about later, but let's just bring it up since we talked about him. I asked Bud Black today, I just said, looking back, did you miss Tyler Kinley as much as you thought you would as a weapon out of the bullpen? And his quick answer was absolutely, you know, so Kinley is a guy that they're going to count on next year. And by all indications, he will be healthy. I'm actually going to talk to him this weekend and get an update for the site. He and I talked a little bit today to set that up, but all indications are he will be healthy for next year. But he's going to be a really counted upon guy next year out of that bullpen with, you know, and you can say Daniel Bard didn't pitch, but he's going to be another year older. You don't know what's going to happen with Estevez. You certainly don't know what's going to happen with Colome. So that back end of the bullpen is a question mark at the moment at best for next year.
By the way, on Fangraphs, it is not Brendan Rodgers. It's Ryan McMahon.
Interesting. The top F-WAR player on the Rockies is Ryan McMahon, according to them.
Yep.
That's very surprising.
And the number 2 player, I don't use Fangraphs as much for WAR because it's kind of hard balancing them and all that. Number 2 is Krohn.
Okay.
Number 3 is Jose Iglesias.
Yeah. And, you know, he's having a really good season. And I'll say again, that was something I did not expect before the season began. But he's also a guy that Noah didn't get talked about much today. But we're also watching him because he pulled up lame at first base on a base hit. So, and
they're dropping like flies, Kevin.
You know, he shooed Bud Black away, like, get away. And he played the rest of the game. But I'm going to wonder, will he be in the lineup tomorrow? They're going to give him a rest day.
So, yeah, he is on Fangraphs. He is 3rd. Tied for 4th is Brendan Rodgers and Kyle Freeland.
Wow, and Freeland has had such an up and down year.
Now, listen to this, too. This is just offensively. McMahon, Krohn, Iglesias, Rodgers, Bryant, he's played in 42 games.
Yep.
Then Charlie, and then Montero.
Oh, that's interesting too. Yeah, and when we talked to Chris Bryant earlier today, that was the thing that he expressed the most frustration about is that if you look back at his July, and I wrote about this for our article on Rockspile, if you look back at his July, he had a really solid July.
Yeah.
And he said, and I, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I was playing through the pain until I couldn't take it anymore in Milwaukee. So he was playing hurt and still putting up some really good numbers for the Rockies that they needed. It even started, he said, that 1st of July in Arizona. So he battled through it almost the entire month, hoped that it would get better during the All-Star break with a break. It did not. And when Milwaukee hit, where you were there, it went downhill quickly for him.
And that's another problem going forward with him. Okay, he had the back injury, and his last game was the first game there in Philadelphia. That was part of the point that we mentioned, how they were 10-5 after the series there in Detroit. Comes back for two games, injured.
Yep.
Again, the back. He comes back for three games, and he starts dealing with plantar fasciitis. Now, granted, he was able to play well after he came off the injured list. 330, 398, 567. That will definitely play in the lineup.
Absolutely.
But if he's injured once again, he played a total, and this is assuming that he plays no other games the rest of the year. He played a total, a absolute maximum total of 16 games where he was not injured this year.
And that's crazy to think about. You know, it really is. So hold that thought, because after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about what is going on with this roster. We're going to talk about a very interesting rumor, shall we say, call up. That's going to be happening for the Rockies and what that could mean for them for the rest of the season here on the Rockspile Rockies Report.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com.
Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back on the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. Kevin Henry alongside Noah Yingling. We are your co-experts for rockspile.com. And Noah, reports came out today that a call-up could be coming as soon as tomorrow, Friday, for the Rockies. And that would be Wynton Bernard, somebody who is not currently on the 40-man roster as we record this, but somebody who is putting up some really impressive numbers at AAA Albuquerque and has been in the minors for more than a decade. And he's finally going to get his chance at a major league game.
And he is yet another one of the players where he caught Bud Black's eye.
Yep.
He is from San Diego. Yep. He was training in San Diego. And it was at the same time as Connor Joe saw him in San Diego. And it was, oh, well, these are some good depth pieces. Connor Joe, at least at first, as we mentioned in the first segment, not recently, but at least at first, he played really well. And now Bernard, he is 31 years old. He will be 32 in September. And if the reports are true, he will be making his major league debut after entering today, at least.
Yep.
In 87 games, he hit 325, 374. 588.
Yeah. So we talked about in the first segment about Dom Nunez and the lack of production in Albuquerque. You know, and you can say PCL, you can say Albuquerque, you can say whatever you want, but it's not like Bernard is only doing it this year. This is by far his best year if you look at his statistics. But he's also somebody that I remember talking to last year down in Albuquerque because he was having such a solid season.
Yeah.
You know, so and it's
he definitely trailed off towards the end of last year.
He did.
Still, I mean, they were overall, it was decent numbers. And I think more than anything, he's a speed threat.
Yep. Yeah. He is. He is knocking on the door of stealing 50 bases. I think he has 49 total over the last two seasons with the Isotopes. So
you would be correct with that.
Yep. So, you know, because I actually talked to him for an article a couple of days ago. So the timing will be interesting when that article comes out. But we talked about that speed and him working really hard to work on the timing of the pitcher so that he could be a weapon on the bases whenever he gets there. Wynton Bernard is a leadoff guy. Think about that as well. Could the Rockies be getting a new Connor Joe? For lack of a better term, right now, as far as a leadoff weapon who can come in and maybe kickstart the offense.
And it should be noted, too, how we mentioned how there was the Bud Black connection there from San Diego, all that. You know, the team that first drafted him all the way back in 2012 out of Niagara University?
Who would that be, Noah Yingling?
None other than the San Diego Padres.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm trying to think, who was the manager right around that time for those San Diego Padres?
I believe his name, he's best known as Harry Ralston Black.
Ah, yes. Yes, Harry Ralston Black, otherwise known as Buddy. So there's a connection there. I've talked to Wynton about that. He is very much a Bud Black guy. You know, he kind of joked. He said, I got in a couple of major league spring training games this year and I didn't do very well. And I kind of felt bad, like I disappointed Buddy. So, you know, it's good that they have that connection. And it's really good that a guy who paid his dues in the minors is finally going to get to see his name on the scoreboard, of course. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
And another side note of that, he was drafted in the 35th round.
Yep.
That round is no longer in existence.
Yep. You're exactly right.
And that was so long ago. Can you remember who the Rockies drafted with the first overall pick that year? Or not their first overall pick.
Right. And what year was that? 2012?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Do tell.
David Dahl.
Oh, the David Dahl draft. Interesting.
First overall pick in that draft was Carlos Correa.
I've heard good things about him.
And his current teammate was drafted second overall, Byron Buxton.
Yep. Yeah.
Long time ago, wasn't it?
It was, but they're making a difference for the Twins right now, you know, and you've been there. You've talked to Correa about that. So for our, I guess that was the fansided.com/MLB site, wasn't it?
Yep.
So
I do want to notice in the 38th round of that draft. And if you remember back in the lockout, we did some looking back at the Rockies drafts and who they drafted, who they could have drafted and all that. 38th round, they drafted a future all-star. They didn't sign him. Name of Dansby Swanson.
That's right. That's right. And then Dansby went back in the draft and it seemed to work out pretty well for him. That decision did at least. So.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I think he won a World Series title last year.
I believe he did. I believe he has a nice ring to that.
And who's his bench coach?
Oh, let's see. Let's see. But let's go back to Bernard for just a minute, because again, we don't know the severity of Daza's injury. We don't, no matter how many times we ask, we're told that Connor Joe is fine. So I still see an opportunity that Bernard could get playing time in an outfield that originally we thought was really crowded, but all of a sudden there's some depth issues in that outfield. And if Charlie is DHing, or let's say that Grichuk is DHing for some reason or something like that, I think Bernard has a real chance this weekend to make an impact. And we know that often that impact will come during matinee games, like on Sunday. That's what I remember when Montero got his first at-bat. So that could be the case for Bernard this weekend against the Diamondbacks. Or he could be thrown right into the fire under the Bud Black-San Diego connection.
And that's yet another thing with the Rockies, as we mentioned. Depth.
Yep.
Okay, that's one thing. They have a hell of a lot of depth in the outfield. But when you have guys that are hitting the IL left and right, and you have half of them not hitting well, the quality of depth, it's not there. It's as simple as that.
I think Montero has provided a really good spark for this team whenever he's actually gotten playing time lately. I think that Bernard will be given the opportunity to provide some spark as well. You know, Rockies fans, you may not get to see Tovar or Veen or any of the guys that you know, these hot prospects coming up, but I think that they're still going to be inserting a little bit of new blood into the lineup to see if it can make a difference for them these last, 6-7 weeks of the season.
Yeah. I mean, you have to find it somewhere.
You have to. You have to. And I think that they will be given a chance to do that. So we'll find out this weekend. We'll be at Coors Field, obviously, with the Diamondbacks coming into town. We'll see what happens. We'll be there when Bernard walks into the clubhouse, reportedly, on Friday. We'll continue our conversation with him. He was a guest of ours on a podcast last year. If you want to go back and listen to that, whenever I was in Albuquerque, I did one with him and Taylor Motter way back in the day. And one thing that I was thinking about earlier today, whenever Daza went down, Patrick Lyons, our friend from DNVR Rockies, and I were sitting there in the press box together, and we both said, is this the opportunity for Wint Bernard? And you look at who the Rockies have called up over Wint Bernard just in the last couple of years. Taylor Motter, Sean Bouchard, you know, he has been passed over, and I'm glad that the Rockies finally didn't pass him over and said, let's give the guy a chance.
Yeah. I mean, even I would like to see some of their other, some of the other players currently in Albuquerque that have had cups of coffee in the majors. I'd like to see them get some playing time as well.
Yeah.
But you've already seen Bouchard a little bit in the majors. You've already seen Valade a little bit in the majors. Even some of them, like, for example, Scott Schebler, okay, you haven't seen him in the majors this year, but he has some major league experience.
Absolutely.
Bernard doesn't. Yep. And who knows? I mean, is he going to be in the major leagues for 15 years? Probably not, considering he's going to be 32. But another thing, how many times have we talked about the bridge?
Yep.
He could be a good bridge piece, or he could be a piece for the next 5-7 years. Who knows?
Absolutely.
If you don't see in the major leagues, you're never going to know.
Yep. You know, and I remember in spring training, and you and I talked about this at the time when they signed Scott Schebler. It was actually after lockout, all that stuff. Grichuk had not had the trade yet. You know, and you and I were wondering, is Schebler going to be a guy that you'd see some time in the majors? And I'll be honest, I was really surprised that he hasn't yet, you know, but because we know Bud likes those veterans who can maybe give a little of that past history and bring it onto the team. But obviously it's Wynton Bernard's time. He's proved it coming off the PCL player of the month in July. So what better time to give him a shot?
Yeah. There's no time like the present, especially when you have injuries.
Yep. And by the way, Noah, one thing to watch, and again, kudos to our friend Mr. Lyons, because he and I were crunching some numbers today in the clubhouse. Today was the Rockies' 50th win of the season. As you and I talked about, and I remember us saying, oh, it's no doubt that they're going to get to that 70-win plateau, you know, that we've talked about a couple of times. Time is running out. I believe they have to go 20 and 27 the rest of the way. I believe that's the right number for them to actually hit 70 wins this season.
Let's do some quick math. So this is game number 114.
Okay.
So there's 48 games left.
So 20 and 28 is what they've got to do to hit 70. Yeah. You have 20 and 28.
And yep. It might sound easy, but that's a 417 winning percentage.
With trips to St. Louis, New York, Atlanta, San Francisco, and 6 in LA to finish the season, at least.
And even with San Francisco, they have 10 games against San Francisco.
Yep.
And mind you, can you guess what their winning percentage is right now?
Do tell.
439.
Okay.
So even if they play at their current pace, they're only on pace for 71 wins.
Which would still put them over the 70 that I know a lot of folks have that betting slip and saying, I took them at 70 this year.
Yeah.
There's some folks who got them at 69 and a half that are feeling pretty a lot better than the ones with 70 right now. I can tell you that too.
But with that schedule.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and all those trips that I read off, those are all road games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are all road games still left for this team. The home slate actually lightens up considerably after this homestand. There aren't a lot of home games, I should say, left for the Rockies this season. Now, they've got just going through the schedule in my head here, and you can pull it up. I know that They go to St. Louis. They come home for the San Francisco weekend series. Then right. They have the Rangers coming in for a quick two-game midweek series. If they play at Coors the way that they played, it's a good stretch for them, maybe. But then after that, until Labor Day, I should say, yep, it's a tough road stretch because I believe that's the Atlanta, New York, Cincinnati, maybe not in that order. But that's the road trip that's in there.
You have New York, Atlanta, Cincinnati. You come home, face Milwaukee, off day. Mind you, there's no, well, actually, no, there is one off day on the road. I stand corrected. So off day after the Milwaukee series, three more against the world-class Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yep.
Off day, two in Chicago on the south side against the White Sox. Another off day, three on the north side. All day games.
Yep.
And then you come home, face the Giants for four, San Diego for three, off day, San Francisco three, Los Angeles four, six.
Yep. yeah, the road schedule, you know, you could look at that and say Cubs of the bunch, maybe the easiest one, you know,
Cubs, and then probably the Cincinnati Redlegs.
Yep. Which, as you said, have been playing 500 ball since that horrific start. So yeah, there's not a lot of weak sisters in there.
And that is why the Rockies have the second strongest remaining schedule after the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
In the National League.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough stretch. And there's going to be a lot of questions, especially I think when we know how long Dawes is going to be out, if he is, how long Diaz is going to be out, what place that may push a Wynton Bernard into, is Connor Joe really healthy or not? You know, and I'm knocking on some wood as I say this, there really hasn't been that many injuries in the pitching department, at least as of late. Thank goodness.
It's a good thing you found some of that wood, because otherwise you would have been the bad person to just annihilate the.
I know. Outside of Cool, you know, and I think whenever he comes back, they've got to figure out what happens with Feltner. I think they've got to figure out what happens with Urania. So, you know, that back end of the bull or the back end of the rotation is going to have some questions to it too.
As we wrap up, do you think they're going to hit over 70?
You know, I do. And the only reason that I say that is that I think they're going to, they've put maybe some Coors stumbles behind them. You know, we you know, look back at that Kansas City series. You look back at some of those that they maybe should have won. But if they can really take care of the Padres coming in, they can play well against the Giants coming in, the Rangers, the D-backs. If they could take care of some business at home and steal a few on the road, I think it's possible. Is it probable? Maybe not, but I think it's possible.
21 home, 27 away.
So you win your – and, you know, you're not going to go 21-0 at home. But I think if you win 75% of your games at home and grab a few on the road, I know. It's right there at that threshold, though. Seriously, it is.
I'm taking the under.
Yep.
Because the Brewers, they pitch well. That's actually on Labor Day, that series. So that's a weird scheduling series, and that it is a 210 mountain start.
Yep.
640 mountain start, 110 mountain start.
Yep.
That'll screw them up. The Giants are the Giants when they show up to anywhere the Rockies are playing and destroy them. Padres, I think the Padres will probably take two or three there. They're going to get crushed in LA. They're going to get crushed in San Francisco. They're going to get crushed in New York and crushed in Atlanta. And they're going to get crushed in St. Louis. I don't see it. I really don't.
Yeah. It's a stretch. I mean, to be perfectly frank, I know it is. So, well, we'll see. I say they will, you say they won't. So we'll see at the end of the season, you know, who gets
and right. I'll go even further and say it won't even be particularly close.
And then I think at that point, if they don't hit 70 wins this year, I think you've really got to say it's time for some big changes. It, bottom line, you have to.
And what would those changes be? Something to definitely ponder over the next few weeks of the season. And especially if that comes where they're in Chicago in the middle of September and they have to win three quarters of the rest of their games to get to that point. I mean, injuries are always going to be part of it. And that's the thing that the Rockies will have to recognize as well, is that, okay, you do have injuries. Every team has them. Look at the Yankees.
Sure. Absolutely.
They're under 500 in the last 40 some odd games. That's a quarter of a season. But they're still tied for the best record in the American League.
Yeah.
Look at Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter's on the injured list now. And he was hitting as well as Aaron Judge was for a month-long span.
Oh, he was one of the best stories there was. Absolutely. Trash heap in St. Louis, and all of a sudden, look what he's doing for the Yankees. Absolutely.
And trash heap in Texas, too.
That's true. Good point. Yeah. Go figure, right?
Yeah. That's baseball.
That's baseball, I hear. All right, Noah, we're going to wrap it up, man. We will be back next week, probably after a St. Louis series. Let's see how they do in St. Louis before they come back here to face the Giants in a weekend series. I have a feeling I know what you're predicting for St. Louis, but I'm curious, what are you predicting for the Arizona series before that?
I think they'll do fairly well with Arizona. I'll say 2 or 3 that they win.
Okay.
So St. Louis, they're going to get crushed.
So you're saying 2 and 4, let's say, over the next 6 games before coming back for the Giants.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's pretty fair. So, all right, Rockies fans, as always, we appreciate you listening to us. Make sure you check us out, rockspile.com, callofthepen.com, fansided.com/MLB. Noah and I are contributing at all 3 places. We would love to have you check out what we'll write about, not only about the Rockies, but also their opponents in these coming 6, 7, 8 weeks as well. So, rockspile.com, rockspilefs on Twitter. And until next time, as always, go Rockies.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.